And welcome. I'm Jenny Prisk with iVow and delighted to welcome you to our conversation this afternoon. Today we are at Las Colinas, the detention facility in Santee, just outside San Diego. And I am very pleased to have in my conversation with me today, Taylor. So Taylor, welcome to our conversation.
Hi.
It's good to have you with us.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Good. So how long have you been at Las Colinas?
I've been at Las Colinas for about a year and a half.
A year and a half. And How is the experience? Walking in today, I see it's 45 acres, I understand, and rather a lovely looking facility. But what's it like to live here?
Well, when I first got here, I was in a high level part of the facility where it was...
And can you tell me what that means? Is that okay for you?
Yes. Yeah. It's because of my incarceration before that they put me in a high level. The high level consists of just one man cell and limited amount of time to come outside. So it was very dark.
Very dark. Mm-hmm. And then something must have changed for you to go from that to where I know now you can go outside. So can you take us on that journey wherever you feel comfortable telling us about how you transitioned?
Yes. Well, when I got here, I was broken. I've been incarcerated more than once. And I think there comes a time where you've reached your bottom. And that for me was this time. I think the staff here was very encouraging. They pointed me in the right direction. And I started asking for help. I think it's an individual choice. If you want it, it's here. If you don't, then it's not. And I started asking the counselor, flagging them down for homework, things to change different thought patterns, things like that. And eventually my classification lowered me down to where I'm at now, which is the inmate worker lead.
Oh, that's quite a title. So what does that mean you do on a daily basis, you know, with that wonderful title and job?
I do all the jobs throughout the facility, wherever they need, but I do all the schedules for the deputies. I orientate all the new girls that have become a trustee and basically just keep everything organized and up and running in the facility.
How interesting. So you're really running quite a job and quite a team here.
Yes.
You mentioned the word trustee. What does that mean here? I know what that means in the world where we talk about trustees of our wills or something, mm-hmm. But what does that mean here?
Here it means that you've earned a certain trust with the deputies, that they can allow you to go do things without being escorted, and you have a little bit more freedom.
So what started to change for you when you were given that freedom and these responsibilities and roles? Did your head and heart start to make major changes?
Yeah, I think more than anything, it gave me more self-esteem. I mean, it helped me and empowered me, you know, it made me feel like I could do things I set my mind to doing. I wasn't such the category of being a loser. I mean, that's basically what society thinks women are in jail, but I think it comes a time where you just have to feed yourself, you know, and the more things you accomplish, the better you feel about yourself. So that's what I was doing.
That's a very good phrase and a very good thought and statement to make. Now, you just mentioned the community, and that's a question I want to ask you. Do you think that our communities do enough, especially in this case for women, to prevent incarceration?
I actually do. Believe it or not,
okay.
The resources are there. It's an individual choice. I know I probably go against everything that everybody's saying, but I've been doing this for a while, and the resources have always been there. I think the stigmatism of the society, I wish that they were more enlightened of the ladies, especially the nonviolent offenders, the people that are here behind domestic violence, and that's what 90% of us are here behind drug abuse. Mm-hmm. And if society kind of would, you know, they have the stigma of us being criminals instead of opening their eyes a little bit more and getting to know who the person is. We're the same people that are going to be released to be your neighbors. So I think if they would be more helping, I think that would be a lot.
Okay, that's a good thought also. Is there much recidivism, in other words, of the same women coming back?
Yes.
It does happen.
Yes, I think it stems a lot from drug abuse.
Mm-hmm. You said that that's one of the biggest reasons that the women are in here, because of drug abuse.
Yes.
So there are obviously drug rehabilitation programs inside Las Colinas.
Yes. Yeah.
And so have you been able to study? Did you come in with an education, or have you gained an education while you've been here?
I've always took my education very seriously, and I've done schooling. The thing is that my problem is drugs. Mm-hmm. And I tend to drift off to those things, but as far as my coping skills of bad relationships. Mm-hmm. And when I relapse, I tend to drift back to doing criminal behavior.
Mm-hmm.
As a result.
Do you think that that is going to change when the time comes for you to be released from Las Colinas?
Oh, I think it's already has changed. It starts here. Just the different ways of thinking, as far as just the sneaking of anything, is the same feeling as when you're out there doing something that you're not supposed to be doing. It starts in here. Your thinking has to change in here with, you know, just following the rules and so forth. And I was one of those women that never followed the rules. And then, you know, it's just, I'm tired. Mm-hmm. I'm tired.
Time to, it might be less tiring to follow rules. Is that what you're thinking now?
Yes.
Yes, they seem very limiting, but somehow there's something about them because they give us guidelines, don't they? They give us a book to work by. You must have made a number of friendships in here, have you, with the other women?
Yes.
Does it really turn into like a support arena, support place for you?
Yeah, there's so many women that come into jail that are so, like I said, broken. I think this is a time where we have to lean on each other more than anything. There's always the negative people that are here, but I think as my purpose, I feel I need to shed some light. And if I don't give somebody that, I feel like I've done them a disservice. And we all bond in here. We all have talks. And I still have girls that when they leave, they write me. And so, we have a good thing going on as far as, you know, helping each other, talking to each other and venting, mm-hmm. you know, shoulder to cry on. But mm-hmm. it's been a good experience in that sense.
So it sounds as though with the leadership role that you've acquired now or reached now, that you can actually reach back, you know, to the other women and help them through the learning that you've gained. Is that correct?
Yeah, especially the girls that have been in and out like myself, and they see where I've come to, because I was one of those ones that always was into whatever in jail. But not that I'm proud of coming back to jail, because I'm not. But I feel like, you know, now that I've took that step in the right direction, other people can see that you can do it too.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it's a huge encouragement to them.
Yes.
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 Do you get chances where, I know there's probably some weeping, as you mentioned, and then there's the classes and the various areas of development. Do you get chances where you can just sit around and laugh?
Of course.
Oh, good.
Of course. It's not all dark here. We laugh, we joke around, and that's the whole rawness of it all, that we just, you know, we bond in that sense. But we definitely laugh. We definitely joke around, and we do stupid things.
Yeah. Oh, good. Just like all of us.
Yeah.
All of us. Had you been in a facility before Las Colinas?
Yes,
and so you had. Yes, I'm not going to go down that road. I just wondered if there's a big difference between this place and where you may have been before.
Yes, there is. Actually, this place is geared to reentry, so they are trying to offer as much possible. They have school classes here. They have, of course, different counseling groups like grief and loss or self-esteem classes. They have, you know, put their best foot forward in trying to help us. And I have to give them credit for that.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah.
The system is changing, and there's more hope for those of you who are here for some time. So what does an average day look like? You know, what time do you get up? Do you have to go to certain classes? Or your day is possibly a bit different from a lot of others. So I'd love to hear about it.
Okay. Well, my day is different than everybody else's. But normally we get up at really, really dark 30, like at 3:30 in the morning, 4 o'clock to eat breakfast.
Oh, my goodness. Now, is this everyone or is this just you?
Because of
your role? Oh, this is everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And you could choose not to eat if you don't want to eat breakfast. But that's the time we have to get up. And I think they get us up that early because there's people going to court and so forth, and they have to get them there on time. So they do that, and then and we go back to sleep or whatever.
You have breakfast and then you go back to sleep?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess that's kind of nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
And then we head out to work. So 7 o'clock usually is our work time, wherever you're assigned to. Or if you're not assigned in your regular housing, you would just get up and do whatever classes you're supposed to be doing that day. Or some people just don't do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I get my day started by doing my job, mm-hmm. and then at noon we eat, and then, of course, 1 to 3, we go back to work. And mm-hmm. We get off about 4 or 5.
Okay, and then dinner follows that, yeah. I guess. Mm-hmm. And then do you have to be in bed at a certain time, or is that up to your own flexibility?
Yeah, well, we have to be in bed by 10.
Okay.
And yeah. Trustee dorm, we could stay up.
Oh, good. So you have quite a bit of leniency here now. That sounds very interesting. Now, may I ask you, do you have family in San Diego in this region, or family somewhere else in America?
Yeah, I do. I have a loving mother, lives in Vegas, and my father lives in West Virginia, though I don't know him very well.
Okay, but there's family there.
Yes.
And you're permitted to have visitors here, aren't you?
Yes.
If they live close by, or it's easy for them to get
yes.
here. Do you have anybody who will come? And you talked about counseling, but is there anybody specifically that will talk to you about anything spiritual, if that side of you, or you'd like that side of you nurtured? Is there anybody that
Absolutely.
You can talk to? Oh, good.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I'm very spiritual. I just didn't want to say it. You know, I didn't know if that would be offensive.
No, not at all. No.
But yes, I'm very spiritual. I conduct a Bible study in my unit every night. But, you know, there's any... spirit, you know, there's everything available here for whatever genre or whatever you decide. But I think that's what's kept me grounded mm-hmm. more than anything mm-hmm. is my spirituality.
Well, that's good. And that has been allowed to be nurtured while you're
yes,
here.
Absolutely.
Because I think, so what I'm sensing is that in this facility, there's an ability or a possibility to really round yourself out as a woman.
Yes.
Do you feel respected and honored as a woman? Because a woman has different needs in incarceration from a man.
Yes.
Do you feel respected and honored as a woman?
You know, I really do.
That's great.
I really do. I think the staff here is so, and I'm not just saying this, the staff really respects us here. It's rare that one or two may come through that have some type of issue, but I believe it's a give and take. And like I said, the resources are there. You have the things here to make you better.
Mm-hmm.
And it's up to you to grasp onto that.
I know we talked about your transition, but was there a catalyst? Because you just used the word make you better. Was there a catalyst that specifically took you from that high level to moving on from there? Was there anything? Was it a class? Was it a person? Or did it turn out to be a series?
It was my spirituality. For one. And then it was a couple of staff here said, you know, you could do it. And I think that's all we need somebody to say is, you know what, you could do it. You don't deserve to be here. You don't need to do that. Look at, you know, and sometimes it's just hearing that from somebody else is just so empowering, where you are just, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to try then. Because if you say I could do it, maybe I can.
So it's validation of your person,
mm-hmm.
yes. Do you feel as though you would now present yourself to friends, family, as a person who is different from the one they knew?
I would. I think my thoughts are different. My goals are different. My my view of life is different.
Mm-hmm.
But I could see that because of my recidivism coming in and out of jail, that it would be almost like, we'll have to see. But mm-hmm. at the same time, I know within myself who I am, so that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think with anything, trust is earned, and the more better you do, the more better you are.
So do you feel as though you've found yourself here? I'm sure I know it's an ongoing process. I'm still working on myself. Do you feel as though you have found yourself or been given the opportunity to do so in here?
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
That is good. I know that you just mentioned some goals. I know there's a little way to go before you will leave. Would you share any of those goals for your future with us?
I would just like to work with animals, if I could.
There's something about them, isn't there? Because they're very undemanding. They just give. Did you work with animals before? Or?
No, but I'm just one of those animal lovers. And then I empathize with being treated badly. So I the dogs especially, I just really want to work with animals when I get out.
Does anybody bring animals in here for you to? No, that might be a wonderful thing we could add. You know, how they take puppies often and dogs, mature dogs, to hospitals.
Yes.
For just that calmness. And
yes.
But anyway, I'm not here to change what you do, but that might be something to think of. You will have goals and dreams, and that's a very specific one, which is wonderful. And do you feel now that that could be a greater possibility for you to work with animals?
I do, but I just don't know how to get there. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. I just don't know how to get there. I would probably go volunteer or something, mm-hmm. you know, but then there's the part where I have to take care of myself, so I wouldn't know how to get to that place.
Well, but we're hoping for you, of course, that is going to come in any time that remains at Las Colinas.
Thank you.
So we're coming very close to the, you know, the conclusion of our conversation, but I just wanted to make sure that I haven't missed out a question that you would have liked to answer, and you have that opportunity now. Anything else you'd just like to share with me and with our listeners?
I would just like to say that for sure that the choices that I've made does not determine who I am, and that I am more than those choices. So I hope to put this behind and move forward, and I really believe that's what I'm going to do.
Well, and I believe that sitting here looking at you and listening to you, I believe you will, and I wish you all of life's best for when that life, possibly with some wonderful animals, begins for you.
Thank
and
you.
Taylor, again, we thank you very much for spending time with us today.
Thank you so much.